ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Satvam Harer Anudhyatas Tattvam Sam Api Samta Tattam Tavadhyam Tavan Anushikshan Satam Tam.
Translation. Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord, Lord is always thinking of you, and you are also recognized by all His confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. I am therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task? Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee and was accustomed to always thinking of the Lord. Reciprocally, the Lord always thinks of those pure devotees who think of Him only 24 hours a day. As a pure devotee does not know anything beyond the Lord, so the Lord does not know anything beyond His pure devotee. Swami Bhuvananda pointed out this fact to Dhruva Maharaj. Not only are you a pure devotee, but you are recognized by all pure devotees of the Lord. You should always act in such an exemplary way that others may learn from you. Under the circumstances, it is surprising that you have killed so many faultless yakshas. So we are continuing with the narration of how Swayambhuva Manu is coming to Dhruva Maharaj and asking him to desist from killing so many yakshas, beginning the story. How Dhruva Maharaj's brother, since he was killed by the yakshas, so Dhruva Maharaj went to take revenge and went to the place of the yakshas, and it was a big fight, and eventually Dhruva Maharaj got the upper hand and he was killing so many. So Swami Bhuvananda said, "This is not necessary, please don't do this. You're a pure devotee, it seems very surprising. Why are you doing this?" So it seems surprising. Why is, if he's a pure devotee, then how is it that another pure devotee, Swami Bhuvananda, is coming to reprimand him? It seems to be a very surprising thing. Now, of course, that may happen. One pure devotee may reprimand another. It doesn't mean that one has become less than a pure devotee. Sometimes there may be differences of opinion, even among great devotees. There's, just for example, there is the story of Jiva Goswami being sent outside of Vrindavan by Rupa Goswami. What happened, one scholar came to Vrindavan and he first of all he went to Sanatana Goswami and said, "I'd like to debate with you on the Shastras." So Sanatana Goswami thought, this kind of person may go around making debates. So Sanatana Goswami thought, of course I can defeat this person, why should I waste my time with him? So he said, "No, I don't want to debate with you." "So, you accept defeat of me?" "Yeah, sure, okay. Sign." "Have a good day." Same thing happened with Rupa Goswami. "I have been defeated by this scholar, Sai Rupa Goswami." "Well, everyone knows it's just some puffed up kind of useless stuff. There's no question in me defeating Rupa and Sanatana Goswami." So then he came to Jiva Goswami and said, "I'd like to debate with you." "I don't want to waste my time." "Then sign here that you've been defeated by me." Okay. Then he saw Rupa Sanatana, and they've also said, "What? You're going to go around and debase the name of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami?" "Okay, I'll give you." So he debated with him and he defeated him. Because he didn't want that the person would go around. For himself, he didn't mind. But he didn't want that this person would go around talking against Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Just see, I'm greater than them. He wanted to preserve the honor of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So when Rupa Goswami heard that Jiva Goswami had taken the trouble to debate with this materialistic scholar, Rupa Goswami took it that Jiva Goswami, just as a matter of pride, had done it. So he said, "Oh, you are so proud, you have no place in Vrindavan. Better you go outside." So he banned him from Vrindavan. And then eventually, it was a story of how he came. Jiva Goswami was allowed to come back in. There are many instances in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You see Bhagavan Acharya, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, getting chastised by Sarup Namadhar Goswami, another great devotee, because he's listening to some drama by a poet who thinks he's a great poet, but actually he's a Mayavadi. And again another time, same thing, Bhagavan Acharya, he was listening to his brother-in-law explain Mayavad philosophy, because he's thinking, well, he's a very good scholar, my relation, so I should listen to him. Sarup Damodar Goswami chastised him, "What are you doing? Why are you listening to this nonsense, Mayavad?" So in this way he chastised him. There are many, many, many examples. Even one time, you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sanatana Goswami was wearing a red cloth wrapped around his head. So Jagannanda Pandit thought, this must be some prasad from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked, "Oh, that's very nice. You got some prasad from..." He asked, "Where did you get that from, that cloth?" He said, "Well, one sannyasi called Mukunda Saraswati gave it to me." So Jagannanda was so angry that he had taken some prasad from some sannyasi other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That time, Jagannanda, he was cooking. He had the pot in his hand, and he went to hit Sanatana Goswami in the head with the pot. Then, after all, this Sanatana Goswami. So like this, sometimes there may be differences of opinion, even between great devotees, and we even see in philosophical matters, sometimes there's differences of opinion, even between great devotees. Just like Madhvacharya, he writes very strongly against Ramanujacharya, because Ramanujacharya, he stood against Shankaracharya. He gave Vishishtadvaita philosophy, Vishishtadvaita vow, to offset the Kevaladvaita vow, the complete oneness propounded by Shankaracharya. He said that, yes, everything is one, but still there is Vaishishtya, and everything has its particular characteristic. So Madhvacharya, he didn't like this, because he said, if you say any oneness, we cannot accept it. His philosophy was Shuddha Dvait. There's two-ness, not oneness, two-ness. So he also criticized Ramanujacharya. Although there may be some apparent difference of opinion, the thing that they agree on, that is far more important. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surrender to him is the only goal of life. So some difference may be there, but the difference, that is a minor point. The meeting point, the thing they agree on, that is the most important thing that we have to see. Not the differences, but what we are agreeing on. One time he wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said that we see the devotees, they often disagree with each other on different things. So it seems to me like they're all impersonalists. Prabhupada wrote back and said, "No, it's just the opposite. Because there's difference in opinion, that proves our philosophy that we're all persons. Because if we weren't people, then how could we disagree with each other?" So disagreement may be there, but the main point we agree on, which is to serve Krishna, that we all agree on. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the main point. Prabhupada even wrote in one Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam that if devotees, we have disagreements, that's spiritual disagreement. That means, how can a disagreement be spiritual? Just like, for instance, two devotees are there. They both agree that we should cook something very nice for Krishna. But one says we should cook these preparations, someone else says, no, we should cook these preparations. So both of them, their aim is to please Krishna. But a difference of opinion is there. So that difference of opinion is spiritual, not material. However, of course, we don't recommend so much that we should try to make difference of opinion. Rather, we should all work cooperatively. But working cooperatively also means we see that different people have different ideas, different ambitions, and how to organize that. And the point is that everyone may have their own idea, this, that, and the other. And ultimately, one is submissive to the idea of the spiritual master. That is the way to resolve all the differences. Not that. There's one story Prabhupada told, that one man, he had several sons. So they all wanted to massage him. So he said, all of you, you can all massage. But then they came to massage him. Then they were disagreeing over who should massage which part and how to do. And eventually they started fighting with each other. Like this, they're banging on the body of the father. So the idea, they came to serve him, but instead they ended up beating him. So this way it wasn't very pleasing to the father. So then we have to see that even, it's understood there may be some difference of opinion, disagreement. We have room for that. It's not like a military camp where simply you left, right. It's understood different people have different aspirations, different ideas, different abilities. So we've all come here to serve Krishna. So our aim is to serve. Still, that service is voluntary, and we're doing in the conditioned state. We're not pure devotees. So that we have to adjust. We have to understand that we're trying to be pure devotees, but anyway, there may be some difference of opinion, or lack of ability, or not completely proper attitude, whatever. Still, we have to go on with our service, understanding that not everything will be very, very smooth all the time. Because what to speak of the material world not being smooth, the condition of our own mind is not smooth. So therefore, maybe ups and downs, sometimes a little bit of friction, this and that. But we shouldn't become discouraged or dismayed. There is sometimes a little bit of disagreement between devotees. You should see the main point, that everyone's idea of coming here is how to serve Krishna. At that point, that is a glorious thing. So even though you may not be serving Krishna all the time, completely, purely, or completely to the best of our ability, that we should aim for, that we can't always expect everyone who immediately comes to immediately completely surrender. You understand? Krishna conscious mood is like a hospital. So if you go in the hospital, you say, hey, look, how many people are sick. This is terrible. It's a hospital. So what do you expect? But it means, at least they've come to the hospital, they're accepting the process of becoming cured. If we criticize, this place is terrible, everyone's all sick. It's a useless place. It's not useless, it's a good place. People are sick, they've come for cure. We can't criticize. Just look, you see everyone's all sick, what's the use of this hospital? We shouldn't think that simply by walking in the hospital one door and then walking out another, they'll be cured. It's not so easy. You have to stay, accept the treatment. And by accepting the treatment, you can gradually become purified. Of course, sometimes in the hospital we see also the doctor gives so many rules and regulations. Don't stop smoking. And when the doctor goes away, the patient immediately pulls out his packet of cigarettes, starts smoking. So even though he's in the hospital, if he doesn't accept the doctor's instructions properly, then he can't get cured. Or his curing process may be very slow. So simply to be in the hospital, that in itself is not going to cure us. You may think, I've been in this Krishna conscious movement for 5 years now, and still I didn't see Krishna dancing in front of me. So what is the use? It's all useless. I'll find out my own way of becoming Krishna conscious. Or I'll do something else. So I'll go to Sai Baba or something. You may think, you may have so many funny ideas. But the actual fact is that this is the hospital. But we have a very deep and long disease. If someone had a disease for many years, it becomes more difficult to cure it. So if you've had a disease since time immemorial, anadi karma phale, pari bhavarna bhatam, this is our position, since time immemorial, we have fallen in the ocean of material existence. Anadi bhaino, Krishna bhuli sejeev, anadi bhaino, since time immemorial, we are inimical to Krishna. And if we think that I will just chant Hare Krishna for 2 or 3 days, and then immediately I should become overwhelmed with symptoms of ecstasy and prema, then it's not a very realistic proposition. It's possible, but it's not very likely for most of us. That we have to, it takes some time that we have to be, we have to see. Utsahan nischayan harya. First principle is enthusiasm, then determination, then patience. Patience that sometime, if I go on with this process, then surely Krishna will be merciful to me and I can understand it. And patience is required. Just like Mukunda Datta, he was a childhood friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But although he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, often he used to go to all kinds of so-called spiritual teachers to listen to them. He was addicted to any kind of spiritual meeting. Oh, that sounds interesting. Let's go. So after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got fed up. He kept on telling them, don't go. Don't visit all these bogus things. Just stay with us and chant Hare Krishna. So after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got fed up. And he told that rascal Mukunda, don't let him come to see me anymore. And fed up with him. So then when Mukunda was told, of course he became very unhappy. So he asked the devotees to ask Lord Chaitanya that, when can I again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he can't come anymore. So he asked, well, I can't come anymore. Is there any time when I'll be able to come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent back the word, I won't agree to see Mukunda for 1 million lifetimes. So they brought the news to Mukunda. Then he started jumping and dancing in ecstasy. And all the devotees asked, why are you dancing in ecstasy? You just got banned from seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 1 million lifetimes. He said, well, when I thought about it, it's not so bad because he didn't ban me forever. So I just have to wait for some time and then I can see him again. So the devotees went and they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Mukunda, he's dancing in ecstasy. He's so patient that he's ready to wait 1 million lifetimes to see you again. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, bring him in, bring him in. He's so much appreciative of me that he doesn't mind even to wait 1 million lifetimes. Then, all right, he's such a devotee, bring him. He brought him and embraced him. He said, just one thing, don't go to see these people, all right. So he was so much patient. So this point, the devotee, he should be patient, not expect everything to be very nice immediately. Of course, our movement, Prabhupada writes in one Prabhupada, our movement is meant for creating an atmosphere of Vaikuntha in the material world. Just like at different places of the Sri Sampradaya, especially Sri Rangam or Tirupati, they say it's Bhu Vaikuntha, isn't it? It's Vaikuntha within this material world. Because where there is Lord Vishnu, there is Vaikuntha. When we come into the presence of Lord Vishnu, of course he's present everywhere. But we say that Sanyadhyam, close to him. And we feel, especially, that atmosphere. We feel relieved from all anxieties. So actually, it's not just the deity of the Lord, because the Lord is everywhere. Of course, he's particularly present in his deity. But he is everywhere. But it's not just the deity, but it's also the atmosphere created by the devotees. Sometimes we see temples, but the atmosphere created by the devotees is not at all like Vaikuntha. It's more like a bazaar. You go there and they're just trying to loot you. You come here, give you some red dot and for the next 25 rupees. Now you offer a prayer here, it's another 25 rupees. So that way you don't feel like it's Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. And you become full of more and more anxiety. How much are they going to take from me? You don't mind to give to Krishna, but you know these guys, they're not so enthusiastic to take money from you just for serving Krishna. Usually these places where they take more money, you'll see the deities are in worse condition because they just take the deity as a kind of machine for extracting money. And so you don't feel that atmosphere of Vaikuntha. So our temples, our centers, that atmosphere should be there. That's was created by the devotee. Vaikuntha atmosphere means where there is no envy, where everyone is simply happy to serve Krishna together. That is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Many people say, especially in the big cities of the Western world, where we have our temples, so many people say, oh, when you walk in here, you feel the difference as soon as you walk in the door. Because outside, everything is completely, grossly, in the modes of passion and ignorance. And you walk in the temple room door, and even just walking in the place where you put your shoes, not even any place where, because they have to keep, you can't keep your shoes on the street in the middle of London or New York. So, inside the door, they have a place to put your shoes. So people immediately feel, oh, it's a different atmosphere. So that atmosphere is actually created by the devotees, who, and non-envious atmosphere. Non-envious means, if everyone is engaged in glorifying Lord Vishnu, then the non-envious atmosphere comes. In that non-envious atmosphere, even if there is difference of opinion, the devotees, they don't become envious, they don't become hateful or spiteful towards each other. They appreciate that even though there may be some difference of opinion, still they don't condemn the other person. Let's see. He's a devotee. He has a different opinion. His aim is how to serve Krishna. He's dedicated his life to Krishna. So that we should see. We should see the good point. That the devotee has dedicated his life to Krishna. That we should see. Rather than saying, well, he does this wrong, he does that wrong. That may be adjusted. That may be rectified in due course of time. The main point that he's dedicated his life to Krishna is a glorious thing, is a wonderful thing. So that we should try to find a good point. Of course, here we find Swayambhu Manu is finding some major defect in Rupa Maharaj. Defect means that even though he's a pure devotee, temporarily he's not acting as a pure devotee. So in this case, Srimad Manu, in a, see the way he's speaking to him, he's speaking to him in a very reasonable manner. He's speaking to him in such a way that he'll be able to accept what he's saying. He's preaching to him, you're a pure devotee, you're supposed to behave like this. So in this way, he's speaking in a way, even though he could have just come and told him, don't do this, bas, finished, because he's superior, he's a man. But he's speaking to him in such a way that he won't just follow, but he'll be satisfied in his mind also. This is the best thing to do. So we see that Swayambhu Manu, even though Dhruva Maharaj is inferior to him socially, being his grandson, but still he respects his devotional service, respects him as a devotee, and speaks to him in such a way that will appeal to his intelligence, that will appeal to his sentiments. So this is important also. It's, even if it may be that the devotee has to be spoken to, there may be some more major fault that needs rectifying. But still, it should be spoken to in such a way, in a respectful manner, that even though there may be something wrong, still he's a devotee, we have to respect him. So Dhruva Maharaj, it appeared that he was acting in a very wrong way. But Srimad Manu didn't forget that he is, after all, a great devotee. And even though he may apparently be acting in a wrong way, that's only a temporary thing. His real thing is his pure devotion to Krishna. Krishna makes this point in the Bhagavad Gita. Abhijit sudhara charo bhajati namamani sadhur eva sanatana samyak eva sanatana. Even though someone may temporarily, a great devotee, he may temporarily engage in activities which are not fitting to him, that may happen. Otherwise, why does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Why does he say that? It cannot happen. Sometimes, for what reason, that may be very difficult to understand. It may be to make some lila. It may happen. Pure devotee may act in a way which may appear to be abominable. But, anyway, if his goal of life is ananya bhakti, to worship Krishna only, without any other motive, then some fault may be there, but if that is immediately rectified, then we shouldn't even consider it. See that the lives of great devotees, if we see their previous life, we may be very surprised. Just like Rupa Sanatana Goswami's, they are, there's no question about their spiritual position. They are manjaris, they are eternal maidservants of Srimati Radharani. That is their position in Krishna Leela. But in, when they came again, it appeared that they had become Muslims. Even their names had been changed to Davirkas, Satyanam. So it seems that they had become Muslims, so it seems that they may have been engaging in some activities. That if they've gone so far as to change their names, then it appears that they had more or less become Muslims in some ways. Although, even when they were in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah, even at that time, they were worshipping Radha and Krishna. But they must have been there. Actually, one devotee one time asked Prabhupada that why Rupa and Sanatana, why did they say we're engaging in abominable activities when they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Nitya Shangi, Nitya Jati, Kali Nitya Kaj. Rupa and Sanatana, they submitted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are associating with the lowest kinds of people. We are ourselves the lowest class of people. And we do the most lowest kind of activities. So, one devotee asked Prabhupada about that. Prabhupada said that it appears that because of their association with Muslims, as they said, they may have been engaged in some abominable activities. And why is that? Eternal associates of Srimati Radharani. That is very difficult to say. It doesn't mean they're not pure devotees. Maybe to increase the lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or to increase their own lila, that we are very fond of. It's very difficult to understand. We can't speculate about that. That is the fact. Still, a pure devotee is a pure devotee. We see also in the life of Bilba Mangal Thakur. He was, in his previous life, he'd been a great devotee. But then in this life, he was engaged in the most abominable activity. And then again, suddenly he got the idea and changed his life completely. That means his real feeling was as a pure devotee of Krishna. But somehow or other, he became entangled in abominable activities. So that may happen. But it doesn't mean that a pure devotee is not a pure devotee. Temporarily, he may appear to be engaged in material activities, even grossly abominable activities. But eventually his spirit, his actual position is revealed by Krishna. So, there are so many examples. Rupa Maharaj is apparently acting in an improper way. He is not to be thought of as that now Rupa Maharaj is not a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee. And Swami Rupa Maharaj is advising him to act in such a manner because he's known as a pure devotee. So he should not act in such a way that others will get the wrong idea. This point, that how a great devotee should act so as to teach others, this is discussed more in the next verse. So I'll leave the discussion until tomorrow. The behavior of a pure devotee, especially those who are preaching, behavior has to be very good, otherwise people they may misunderstand. So this point we can discuss tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
So Prabhupada once he said that the guru directly in his letter he was to the task. You are thinking only of me, I am also thinking of you. Is it that is a guru or how do you
understand? Once Prabhupada was asked by his disciples, how can you know what all your disciples are doing? Prabhupada said, I have my GBC men, tell presidents, they tell me. So, in that way, Prabhupada to get the report of the temple presidents. But practically we see also, Prabhupada was such a great devotee that he could understand what was going on in everyone's heart. So many instances where Prabhupada, he knows exactly what's going on in the mind of the devotee. Just like, I'll tell once, I'll just give one of many, many examples. Prabhupada's one disciple in London, Shubhag. Now he's Shubhag Maharaj, he lives in Mayapur. But he was the only Bengali devotee living in London at that time. He joined ISKCON in London. So Prabhupada often used to like to talk with him. You know, in the early days of our movement, our devotees were quite wild, very young, and didn't have not much culture or any idea about anything. So Prabhupada, he liked to talk with Shubhag. Sometimes he used to call him in the middle of the night, talk with him, so many different things. He used to speak to him in Bengali. So Prabhupada, he asked Shubhag one time, he knew he's from Calcutta. Prabhupada also from Calcutta. So Shubhag explained this. He asked him, which part of Calcutta are you from? This is after Prabhupada knows Shubhag. So you know, especially among Bengali people, the idea of prestige is very important. And which part you live in, if you live in the best part of town or the another part, that affects your prestige. It's like from Bombay, if you say, from Malabar Hills, that's very high prestige. Or if you say I'm living in Jogeshwari, that's very low, because that's the slum area. So Shubhag, he told where he was living, but he moved in a few streets. So the next morning, Prabhupada was giving class. And he was saying so many things. And one thing he said, one should never tell a lie to his spiritual master. And Shubhag thought, oh, anyway, it was only a small lie. And Prabhupada shouted at him, shouted in Bengali, not even a small lie. Oh. So there was the only Bengali in the room was Shubhag, apart from Prabhupada. So there's so many things. About Shukadeva Goswami, right at the beginning of Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami is offering his obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami. Before speaking, he offers his, he says that, there's one phrase he said, I can't remember the Sanskrit. But it says that he can enter into, he says about Shukadeva Goswami, he can enter into the hearts of everyone. So a pure devotee has that ability to understand what's going on in everyone's heart. So Prabhupada, sometimes he acted in such a way that he didn't know what was going on. And he may not have known also, because it depends whether he wants to know or not. One time, Gaudiya asked, what is it? Prabhupada asked, Gaudiya asked Prabhupada, what does it mean that a pure devotee, he knows everything? So he replied that, he asked Prabhupada, what does it mean? Do you know everything? He said, no, I just, this whatever I need to know, I ask Krishna. So he's not like Krishna, knowing everything, past, present, and future, about everything, directly and indirectly. But whatever he needs to know, he asks Krishna. That's all. So he may know, or he may not know, depending on whether he asks Krishna. It's right in the beginning of Bhagavad. It's very nice verses in praise of Shukadeva Goswami.
When we address Lord Krishna, is it not better to address him as Sri Krishna rather than Krishna? When you address somebody by name.
Yeah. Prabhupada usually said Krishna, and we pick that up from him. If you are very friendly with someone, and you mean not always addressing as Sri. So our, of course, we are very respectful to Krishna. But our, after all, we are following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who also always addressed Krishna as Krishna. So we are especially following in the path of intimacy. Samsara Rupa Vidayam Vimivanta. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. Any other question? We'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.